So I actually found this to be a little bit humorous. Steven Crowder, who has got a YouTube show out there, he is one of the biggest conservative snowflakes I think that I've ever seen. And I don't know. It seemed to me like he might have been close to crying on this show where he paid homage to Rush Limbaugh. And it's kind of hilarious here, folks. Have a listen to this.
It's never time to panic, folks. It's never, ever going to be time to give up on our country. It'll never be time to give up on the United States. It'll never be time to give up on yourself.
And that's, and we'll have something else that I want to play, and I want people to remember him when he was healthy. But still, that's the message he espoused for a long time. And people have used that term happy warrior. I've said this, sometimes people say you're just peddling opium. No, listen, I think that we're going to face some dark times here. And we have some challenges with Joe Biden, but I do believe that we still live in the greatest.
I think we're going to face some dark times here, folks, with Joe Biden. I mean, that's exactly what I was thinking when Trump was president here. I mean, I was thinking the same stuff.
Country on the face of the earth that's ever existed. And there are systems and checks and balances that can correct it. And I know a lot of you have lost faith in our institutions. So have I, especially after this last election. But the solution is not just to say, well, I'm not going to vote.
Yeah.
The solution is not to say, well, I'm just not going to, it doesn't matter anymore. Look.
There's checks and balances. I don't know. That's the thing that got me was that, you know, look, folks, there's Trump. There's checks and balances here to keep Biden from kind of like getting out of hand and stuff like this. Well, you know, that's exact same thing that we were thinking when Trump was going off the handle with God knows what. Just about everything that he was doing. We were thinking about, okay, what checks and balances do we have? We just lost General Mattis. He was like the voice of reason. What the hell are we going to do now? I mean, where's the checks and balances? You know, will the Constitution hold? And it's just ludicrous that Steven Crowder is so butthurt over this election that he's hoping that the checks and balances are going to hold against Joe Biden. My God, we're going to slip into the abyss. So, folks, here's another one, another clip of him here, where he's talking about how, you know, never worry about what's going on here because, you know, with like Rush Limbaugh passing and Biden getting to be president, it's just making us stronger.
People in positions of power and influence are becoming bolder because of we all owe it to Rush Limbaugh initially. And that's allowed us to create this to make you bolder, to make you understand that you're not alone. That is very powerful. There is good coming down the pike. I don't say that falsely. Yeah. I try and shoot you straight and tell you when things look grim. This is not the end of the line. And if nothing else, believe that and act on that to honor probably the most influential and greatest conservative of our time, Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, yeah. This is not the end of the time here. Rush Limbaugh's gone. No, this is the beginning. I think spring is a great way to kind of explain the way I feel about Rush Limbaugh passing. I'm not happy that he died, but I see plants coming out of the ground. You know, it's just another way that we can flourish without somebody like that in the world, folks. So this next clip here, he just fries me with this. Okay, so we all know that Rush Limbaugh was homophobic, right? He celebrated in the early 90s and late 80s the death of many people to AIDS. And he had a segment on his show where he actually celebrated this. He rang bells. He played music, you know, to kind of make it all seem real funny that people were dying. And we know he's racist. And we know that he's a misogynist and all this kind of stuff. So their answer to all of that is that, hey, Rush Limbaugh had a black guy working for him. Did you know that Snurdly was this real big black guy that worked for Rush Limbaugh? So that just makes it all good, right? Just have a listen to this, folks. This is ridiculous.
So when he died, NBC presented it. Rush Limbaugh dies. Man who was a Trump awarded Presidential Medal of Freedom, known for his racist, homophobic, misogynist remarks.
Geez. Of course.
Which, listen, the thing is, people would say racist. You see this all over Twitter. Do you know when he was talking about Snurdly? He's a black guy. Oh. The one guy in a studio you would talk to, a really big black guy. Like a guy who Suge Knight would be like, ooh, don't
there you have.
Yeah. He's taking his life to his own
hands.
He was
with Rush forever. Rush had very loyal employees. To know him was to love him. And I know he had several marriages. Look, I'm not here to say that Rush was a
To know him was to love him, folks. Well, I don't know about that. And it just made it all just go away. He had a black guy working for him, Snerdly. Well, that just made it all good. Well, what the heck? Yeah. Let's not even address the fact that he was a homophobe or any of that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter anymore. He had a black guy working for him, folks. Jeez. Good Lord. My God. These people, I'll tell you what, it just, they never cease to amaze me with the crap that they come up with. And I will give Rush credit for this, though, folks. I will say that Rush Limbaugh was one of the first people, I think, to actually recognize something that I'm going to describe to you and take advantage of it. So Rush was one of the first people that I think, you know, you can actually credit this trigger. And let's say that, for example, the, you know, what he did, you know, with the AIDS epidemic and the gay people that were dying and how he celebrated the fact that these gays were dying and played music and tweeted horns and all this kind of stuff. That was the trigger. Then came the outrage in the media, right? The media just blew up about it. Everybody was just all over the place. Like, how could he say that? That is so heartless, so cruel. And at the end of the day, I think he did recognize what he was doing was heartless and cruel, because he ended up giving $10,000 or something stupid like that to children, you know, young kids that had AIDS or something like this. You know, so he found a way to try to say, okay, look, you know what? But the amount of outrage that he triggered, the amount of media coverage, and he got the attention, he got the like-minded people to follow him as a result of doing that. The $10,000 that he ended up giving to one of those charities was a pittance in terms of how, sadly, how that boosted his whole radio show. So this whole thing is I'm just going to label it, you've got the trigger, you've got the outrage, you've got the attention that it garners, and that just emboldens, you know, the people that follow him. And Trump picked up on this as well. You know, this trigger, outrage, attention, this whole thing. He used this whole approach throughout his whole election and presidency, for God's sakes. And just look at today, folks, for example. Look at Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. She's using this. You know, there's the trigger. She was doing a conference, a Zoom conference on one of the committees that she's a part of. And in her background, as you can see, you know, she's got tons of armaments there. So that's the trigger. And Donnie Jr. is doing the same thing. Take a look at this. So they're doing the same thing. What they're trying to do is trigger outrage. They want the attention, because all of that emboldens, you know, their followers. They just eat it up. So what we have to do is we have to recognize that these people are like kids. At the end of the day, they're like kids. This trigger, outrage, attention, it's what they crave, and it feeds their base. They just feed on it. And if we can recognize that their attempt to trigger us is what it is, and then call it what it is, then we can diffuse some of this outrage and break the cycle and say, oh yeah, you're just trying to get attention. You're just trying to trigger us just to get attention so that your base eats it up. That's exactly what they're trying to do here, folks. So in Rush Limbaugh's case, being homophobic was the trigger, you know, that we just talked about. So that's not where his euphoria over the whole thing ended. I mean, these people, it's like a drug. This is like a drug to them. Make no mistake about it. So the reaction to that trigger of Rush Limbaugh being a homophobe and celebrating the deaths of people from AIDS, the reaction was the second euphoric high for people like Rush Limbaugh. He couldn't lose. I mean, it was like a drug to him. You know, you trigger people, you get the outrage, you get the media attention, it's free publicity. You know, it's a second euphoric high. He didn't need oxycodone, folks. He had this trigger and outrage. He was just eating it up. I mean, it was like a drug. Same thing with Donald Trump. It was like a drug to him. So here's how Donald Trump used the trigger, outrage, attention sort of culture. Donald Trump flouted not wearing masks, as we know, just about every time that we saw him, or social distancing for that matter. So that obvious snub to science triggered a lot of people, because it ran right into what we know is wrong. And to be honest with you, he knew it was wrong too. But he got tons of media coverage. He He got everybody upset about it. Why don't you wear a mask? Why can't you simply say, wear a mask, Donald Trump? The media ate it up. The people that follow him, his followers, just absorbed all of that. They just loved it. His followers loved it. So it drove his followers to him in a bigger way than before. So he knew that he should be wearing a mask, but he just loved the trigger. He loved the attention. He loved the outrage, and it engendered his followers to him. It's like a drug to these people. So election fraud, same thing. That was another trigger. The media went crazy, tons of outrage. Trump's followers saw the media outrage as possibly a sign that maybe Donald Trump was right about election fraud, right? Look how mad these people are. They're triggered. You know what? I mean, there must be election fraud. They're mad about it. So it doesn't matter to Trump that he had no verifiable facts that you could even count on, you know, to prove his point of election fraud. It had no bearing on it. The outrage was that Donald Trump must be right. Look how mad they are. And it just engendered his whole group of followers to him. And that's the trigger, outrage, attention culture at its best. So obviously, folks, it's not just Donald Trump or Rush Limbaugh that do this kind of thing. I mean, here's another example of someone who's doing this. And I'm going to just show you. This is, to me, I found this really pathetic. It's gross. But here's another example of it. Of why people do things that they know are wrong, but the excitement and the rush and the trigger, the outrage, the attention that they get, it's just like a drug. So here's South African trophy hunter. Her name is Marilise Vandermeer. Vandermeer, I believe I've got that right. And she was dying like just from heartache. She wanted to be able to pose on Valentine's Day with the heart of a giraffe that she shot in a game preserve. I mean, it's gross. Sickening people. So for Valentine's Day, her husband paid about $2,000 to go on a preserve with her and have her shoot this giraffe. And she proceeded to pose with it. She then cut its heart out. I'm not going to show you the picture, but she always wanted to know what it looked like, and she did this all around Valentine's Day. So this obviously is a huge trigger. People were understandably outraged. The media went crazy about it. You know, her picture just looked like it was in your face, which is exactly what they're trying to do. And after she went viral in the news media, she sat down in front of her computer, right in the middle of Facebook there, you know, and typed out this. She said, "Oh dear, the world is triggered. I totally forgot that everyone now has feeling and gets triggered by everything." So her sick high just isn't ripping the heart out, shooting this giraffe and ripping the heart out. You know, it's the publicity. That's the second euphoric high for these crazy bastards. It's like a drug to these people. And keep in mind, these people like Rush Limbaugh and Donald Trump, even this lady who executed the giraffe for that matter, they get a euphoric high from it. They all do. This is like something they thrive on. So part of Donald Trump's problem here going forward, folks, is not only how to trigger the outrage like he did before, but how to get the attention like he did before. I mean, this is a huge problem for him. It's going to be hard for Donald Trump to trigger people like before and get the attention like he did when he was president. Now, he's going to be at CPAC this weekend. He's going to be talking at CPAC on Sunday. So let's see what the trigger is going to be. He wants to trigger outrage. He's going to be trying hard to do it. But for that to work, it just can't be a trigger. You can't get the outrage and just have it die. He needs it to be something that really stirs up the media, and he's having problems actually staying in the media at this point. So I've always said that I think the old boy's on fade right now. Let's see how it works out this Sunday at CPAC, folks. Let's see if he can do the trigger, the outrage, the media attention, and engender his followers. Let's see what's going to come next. I have no clue what's coming, but it should be interesting. Thanks for tuning in.